The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, the US President Donald Trump has said the US is on the cusp of ending the war in Iran. He was speaking in a televised address last night. Michael Graham, managing editor of Inside Sources, a national news outlet based in Washington, D.C. What did the nation make of the address?
And it was Donald Trump being Donald Trump. And anything you wanted to find in that speech, you could probably find it. Clarity is not his strong suit. The people who want the war to continue and for Iran to be permanently set back and hopefully toppled like that he was talking about not, you know, being willing to stay. People who want the war to end now liked him saying over and over again, it's about done. We're about done. The question is, what's going to happen? What's he doing? Answer, who knows?
Okay. Is there a feeling that his base, and particularly his working class base, is losing trust and losing faith in Donald Trump?
So that's an interesting question. If you look at polls of partisanship, Republican versus Democrat, he's doing great. His approval has actually gone up. There was a new CNN poll, I think, this morning that had him above 80% among Republicans. But if you look at demographic groups like Hispanic men who swung to him away from the Democrats when the Democrats nominated Kamala Harris, those numbers are down. So it's hard to tell. America is a polarized country where there is no thought that you're going to be able to do something bipartisan because the other side just simply will not work with you. Donald Trump could announce tomorrow that he wants to pass the Democratic Party's platform as national policy, and every Democrat will vote against it, except for John Fetterman in Pennsylvania. And no, so that's where you are. So that affects your politics because, you know, look, I think it's safe to say, I know Ireland's gotten, you know, crazy as of late. And so I don't know that, that there's any use of force that the nation of Ireland would support. But
we're kind of old fashioned about international law and stuff like that. Yeah, Michael.
Yeah. Well, that's And if there were, in fact, an international law enforcement agency, then you wouldn't have the current regime in Iran because they've spent 47 years violating international law. So obviously nobody believes in international law. My point is the West would like to see Iran toppled. The Democrats allegedly were working on an Iran deal because they said Iran was dangerous and they thought they could find a way to deal with it. And yet it all comes down to, are you a Trump? Yes or no. And it's very difficult to have a policy conversation.
Okay, no, I accept the bipartisan point, but I was looking at poll ratings among blue collar workers. Disapproval 70%, a net disapproval rate of 41%. That goes beyond bipartisan. Approval rate for how he's handling the economy is at 31%. That's a career low. 27% right. Approval for how he's handling inflation. Right. 2/3 said his policies had worsened economic conditions. That sounds like it's more than just Democrats being annoyed him. That sounds like his Republican heartland.
Right. We left out a key group of voters, which is independents. No, you're absolutely right. Trump is higher than ever among Republicans, 80% plus. On the war, it's close to 90%. Among Democrats, I think this, I'm doing this from memory, but I think the CNN number, his approval among Democrats was like 2%. So there's that. And then independents are anti-Trump 3-1. It's, you know, so yeah, the independents that gave him the majority in the 2024 election are by far and away unhappy. They don't like what he's doing. They're unhappy. You're absolutely right. But for example, if you look at his approved disapproved number among white voters without a college degree, that would traditionally be viewed as blue collar, working class, whatever. They're basically split. It's 49-51. So, you know, it's not as simple as saying, well, the blue collar guys, in the Trump era, something happened that had never happened in my previous lifetime watching politics, which is that partisanship, your party membership, became the number one identifier of what you think about everything. It used to be, if men versus women, there are certain political trends, whatever. Oh, if I know your sex and your race and your income, that will tell me your politics. Now that's gone. sex, race, income are wiped out by politics, and in particular, your feelings about Trump.
Okay, what do you, I mean? I'm curious what Michael Graham thinks in terms of the war. Did he go in? Was he bluffed into it by the Israeli leadership? Did he have an exit plan? Did he think it would all be over in a week? It sounds like he did not go in with his eyes wide open.
Well, the idea that Donald Trump is going to be bluffed into a war by a small country like Israel that has to do whatever he decides to do is a bit of a stretch.
But then why do it? Because all of the targets, all of the war aims he outlined in the day after the attack, he's dropped all those now.
He seems to be pretty consistent. Well, first of all, let me back up, because who knows what Donald Trump thinks? I mean,
I'm curious what you make.
I have no idea. The guy is at it, whatever. I don't know. You know, one day he's one way. I don't know. All I know is this, that for 47 years, the open sewer that is the Iranian regime has been pouring poison into the world. In addition to being the number one terror sponsor, in addition to being the force behind the October 7th terror attacks that slaughtered, you know, more than 1,200 people, including several Americans, in addition to the terror attacks on synagogues around the world, in addition to, you know, sponsoring the Houthis, they're an awful, hideous regime that's made the world terrible. The oil spike we're having right now is one of the many oil spikes that comes from having a whack job Islamist regime with weapons that's trying to export its politics. If they just kept it at home, no one would care, but they've been exporting it. So that problem was there yesterday. The ability to shut down the Straits of Hormuz was there yesterday. The ability to threaten Gulf neighbors was there yesterday. And my question to the world and to the people who believe in the so-called international order is, what were you going to do about it? Now,
But the problem, Michael, is none of that is going to change, it would seem. Like the regime change that Donald Trump spoke about, he is no longer speaking about. The Strait of Hormuz is closed. It wasn't closed 34 days ago. It is now. So all the problems, he's abandoned the idea of getting all the uranium. He said, oh, it's deep in the ground, where I'm not interested in it anymore. He's abandoned all those war aims because he probably knows that they're no longer achievable.
Well, so first of all, we know that that everything you said is achievable. The question is, are you willing to pay the price? That's the question. They're all achievable.
But don't go into the war if you're not going to pay the price. Surely.
I agree with you, and that's why when you ask me what is Trump trying to do, I go, I have no idea. But if Trump leaves office, and people in America can vacation in Caracas, Havana, and Tehran, because those regimes have fallen, and they've now started moving towards the regular community of nations, Donald Trump will be the most successful president of the United States in this century. And that is astonishing for me to say, a guy who has never voted for Donald Trump, who literally gets creeped out when the guy talks. He drives me so crazy. But I can't argue with the results. The Irish approach has failed dismally, and it's been failing the entire
What basis is he the most successful?
Islamists, attacking Israel. Those are all failed strategies. Thank God Israel's stronger than ever. Thank
Michael,
God.
Michael, I have to clarify. Michael, you have to clarify. Right. On what basis is he the most successful president?
No, I said if you're able to vacation in Caracas, Havana, and Tehran, in other words, if the Iranian threat has gone, the Cuban, you know, communist regime that's been interfering with its neighbors is gone. Venezuela, this wonderful country that was totally lost by socialist politics and is now maybe one day on its way back. If that all happens, and that's a big if.
That's a massive if, isn't it? Iran is going nowhere by the looks of things. Iran looks further away now from regime change than it did 34 days ago.
Anyone who looks at Iran right now with the massive devastation it suffered and the wiping out of its leadership, the terror that the people who work for the IRGC have just for showing up to work, all of the weapons that are gone, the inability to build missiles that are gone, the inability to fund its terror proxies that is gone, what's happening in Lebanon, which is a defeat for them, and Syria for them. Anyone who looks at that and says that they're in better shape, it's hard to have a serious conversation.
I didn't say they're in better shape. I didn't say they're in better shape, but Michael, they're just as entrenched as they were. In fact, probably more entrenched.
No, they're not. We'll
agree to disagree on that. We do have to leave there. Thank you, as always, for talking to us. Michael Graham there, Managing Editor of Inside Sources, the national news outlet based in Washington, D.C.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.